As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Welcome back to the program. Lori Rubenson here with you on The Fan in New York City on a Sunday night and, well, on Saturday night. The New York Knickerbockers started off their playoff series against the Detroit Pistons and won 123-112. They were down heading into the fourth quarter. They were losing 91-83. And then, well, they got to 98-90. And for about a five-minute period, they went on a 21-0 run and just blitzed the Pistons out of the gym and went on to win the game. To talk about the Knicks, the fourth quarter, and all the subplots, strategy, and storylines, we bring in Steve Popper from Newsday, covers the Knicks. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Good. That's a pretty good recap of what you saw there. It's just crazy what that run was like at the Garden on Saturday night. Just something that, you know, as you see it starting to rise, just, you know, whether it was the campaign stuff, the Jalen Brunson coming back, you know, the back of the locker room, wherever he was hiding sneakers. You could just feel it mounting there. And you saw a young, inexperienced team kind of wilted under it.
Let's start with the atmosphere at Madison Square Garden, and I guess in particular in the fourth quarter. I've been to playoff basketball games at Madison, you know, Knicks games, playoff games at Madison Square Garden, and trying to describe them to people. But for you who've covered them, what was the atmosphere like in the fourth quarter?
You know, it was sort of a little bit reminiscent of last year. Mm-hmm. You know, Dante DiVincenzo still talks about, you know, the game against Philadelphia when he hits the go-ahead three, and, you know, he said he could just feel the floor shaking there. And it sort of was like that. It was, you know, a campaign is probably could be the most divisive player on the team. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes, you know, you see him go to shoot, and that you hear a lot of no, no, no. And then it goes, and he's dancing, and the entire crowd is up dancing with him. And he was a huge part of this run. He had 11 of his 14 points in the fourth quarter. You know, he was on the floor. He's blocking shots. He's doing all this kind of crazy stuff. And Brunson, you know, who had struggled early, took over. And it just started to then become, you know, just kind of picking pockets and fast breaks. And it sort of had just had that feel of it just kept growing and vibrating. It was one of those nights at the Garden. And I'll say this, it wasn't like that all night. There was a lot of, I think, doubt and kind of disappointment, you know, as you saw some of the flaws early on that they were having struggles with, you know, falling behind by 9, you know, 8 heading into the fourth quarter. I think the crowd was sort of, a little bit on pins and needles there that this was going to get away from them.
When I look at this matchup of a young Pistons team that is big and physical and has an edge to them, they want to kind of be like the bad boys. But they don't have a lot of playoff experience. And you have a Knicks team that a couple years ago, the Knicks were the up-and-coming young team. Now they are veterans to the playoffs. And I look at the matchup here, and you mentioned Dante DiVincenzo. Without Dante, without Julius Randle, in some ways, this Knicks team feels like a group of guys who are very nice, but don't have some of the same edge. And I wonder that campaign seems to me in a series against, I'm not saying every series, and maybe if the Knicks win this series against Boston, it's different. But for this series against this Detroit team that seems to want to try and push the Knicks around or have an edge, is campaign sort of sneakily important in this series?
You know, I wrote a column for tomorrow's paper that's up on the web now that you just find these things. We spend a week, dissecting every angle of this, what is Brunson going to do against him? What's their physical play going to do to the Knicks? How do you stop Cade Cunningham? And then suddenly, the last guy into the game for the Knicks turns out to be a huge difference maker. And you could see it, but you don't get that every night in campaign, which is why he's, the eighth, ninth guy, in some games. I will say this, the consistency with him is confidence and excitability. That never wavers, his production on the court may, but what you saw from him last night, whether the shots are falling or not, he believes everyone's going in. I think I tweeted at one point, everybody finds something in life that you believe in as much as Cam believes in his three-pointer. The thing I think that we saw there, though, is you wondered how the Knicks would respond to that physicality. And Detroit, no doubt, tried to do it to the Knicks last night. From the very start, Asur Thompson had two fouls, against Jalen Brunson in the opening 2 minutes, 39 seconds. Jalen Durham was in foul trouble. Stewart, five fouls in, I think, 20-some minutes. They were going to try and bang the Knicks around, and it sort of was you can't call them all if they keep hitting you on every play. We knew how Jalen Brunson would respond. You just don't intimidate him physically. Despite being a point guard who's, 6'2", he's a very strong and physical player himself. But you did wonder how it would affect, some of the nicer guys, Karl Anthony Towns, Mikal Bridges. And I thought Towns did a great job against some very physical big men and was probably as good as we've seen him defensively, maybe all year long. Four steals, two blocks. Ananobi was, exactly what you hoped he'd be. Mm-hmm. He was very physical himself, defensively on Cade. I think that part of the test, the Knicks probably passed as a team and you would feel reassured that that's not going to, something that's not going to intimidate them. And I think the one change is, look, the one thing we haven't added here is the home court, a young inexperienced team facing sort of that avalanche, at Madison Square Garden is one thing. I don't think the Knicks, will be affected at all by playing in Detroit. Detroit may not fill up with Knicks fans the way Philadelphia did last year, but and Detroit's never been a place that Knicks fans really take over. But I think they're not going to be intimidated by the noise and sounds of playing in Detroit. So I just think that sort of, I'd rule out that Knicks are gonna, this Knicks team showed no signs that they're going to be intimidated. Shots may fall, they may lose a game, but I don't think that physical play is going to ruffle them.
As you call it, the avalanche started in the fourth quarter, and then there was so much defense leads to offense where, you know, so many turnovers that were generated by the Knicks, a total of 19 turnovers, and leading to, you know, so many of them leading to easy buckets and points in that fourth quarter. But when that, other than, I mean, it's hard to say, like, other than that, it was obviously such a key and the turning point in the pivotal part of the game. But for the first three quarters, and we've seen this, I guess that my question is, how can the Knicks get back to that team that played beautiful offensive basketball in the first part of the season? It feels like they have not been that team for a while.
Yeah, you know, it's been up and down, and there's been, Jalen Brunson missing a month, I think, took some of it away. You know, they still scored 123 points to me against a good defensive team.
The fourth quarter in that outburst, and 40-plus points and a 21-0 run over about 5 minutes was insane. So, but three quarters, it wasn't as much, and especially in the first half, like when Jalen, it does still look like Jalen Brunson, it's hard to say this because he scored, 34 points and had an unbelievable second half, but the first half, he looks like he's still finding his legs from having missed a month and looked a little rusty.
Yeah, he was 2-for-13 to start the game, and that's, you know, just not what you'd expect from him under the spotlight here. But, you know, I think what we did expect was he would pick it up in the second half, and he did. Hit his last couple shots of the first half and then really took off in the second half. I just don't worry about him. But what I do worry about is what you're going to get from Mikal Bridges. He was the one guy in the starting lineup who sort of didn't give you what you expect, what you want from him. I think he did play a pretty good game defensively, which, you know, that's something you definitely hope to get from him. But you do need a little offensive spark from him. Anunoby has been, you know, continued to be. He was sort of the one who carried the Knicks early last night, and he did that a lot in the absence of Brunson late in the season. Towns, I thought, was very efficient. I think 10-for-14. Didn't dominate, but did exactly what you wanted. Moved the ball. I just think given time, that's going to grow and get back in. They'll sort of get the rhythm back. Being now, first of all, being healthy is the biggest thing. They're sort of whole, and you know, for the first time that I think I can remember. And
speaking of healthy and whole, though, what after the game? I know Jalen never answers anything, and we'll never talk about his ankle or his health. But we did see that, you know, he went back in and changed his sneakers, and it looked like that ankle kind of rolled a couple of times. Any sense of, you know, is that a concern, the ankle, for the playoffs moving forward?
Look, it is in the postseason. That's the X factor for every team. Every team, I think, is, you know, we saw Jason Tatum fall today, you know, on his wrist, and Jaylen Brown's already nursing a knee injury. And that's sort of, you know, the thing that can ruin the playoffs.
Hello? Did we lose him? You're back. Sorry, we lost you for a second, but you're back.
I was saying,
can happen to any team.
But I think, you know, I guess what I pointed out yesterday is when he, hurt the ankle, I think first on Schroeder, came down on Schroeder's foot.
Right.
And then sort of just caught it on the court, it looked like, after that. He never looked at Tom Thibodeau, never sort of gave him the opportunity to ask him if he wanted to come out of the game, just basically stayed in and went to his regular rotation at the end of the quarter, ran back, and less than 3 minutes later he's back in the game and dominating. He's somebody who's going to tough it out, I think, in the playoffs. I just he's sort of one of those, if he can walk, he'll play. Guys, and so I wouldn't worry about that. But look, that's the factor with any team in the postseason. It's just you have to cross your fingers and hope you're healthy. And the Knicks are right now. You know, every one of the starters is out there. You know, for all the heat that Tom Thibodeau takes all year about usage of the players, you know, every one of his players is healthy. They've sort of they've nursed Mitchell Robinson, I think, the right way. where he looks as active and healthy, you know, as he has all year, or in a couple of years, probably. To me, you know, I think I wouldn't worry about injuries with them right now. And I think, you know, Jalen again, he'll tape it up tight and he'll play and he'll somehow get things done. He doesn't get very far off the ground anyway, so usually safe.
What did you think of the pairing of Karl Anthony Towns and Mitchell Robinson, the 2 7-footers? I don't know, it was probably, what was it, you know, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, whatever it was, but there was a period of time where they were both on the court together, and they were, I think, from a plus-minus standpoint, I think it was an efficient, effective time for the Knicks.
Yeah, look, I think it's pluses and minuses. I think they played it probably a little more than they would have because Josh Hart was in foul trouble much of the game. But I think there were problems, you know, sort of switching, you know, guys getting lost, you know, Carl now trying to chase shooters. I do think Mitchell was very effective protecting the paint. He had a couple of, you know, 3 offensive rebounds. I think all 3 of them led to baskets that he had, you know, put back dunks and a follow. And, you know, like I said, I think they both played well individually. I think there's just trouble with this matchup playing the two of them together. I mean, the Pistons don't have a lot of size anyway, so I don't think it's a necessity. But I think that sort of when, you know, when you're trying to chase shooters, you know, whether it's even Tobias Harris or Ron Howell, you know, just the different guys they put out there, Hardaway, there's so many shooters on the team, Beasley, that you sort of get lost on these screens, and Carl's suddenly trying to chase a guy out in the corner. I don't think it's something they want to do a lot. And, you know, I think this is sort of a circumstance where Hart foul trouble sort of forced their hand a little bit.
Last one before I let you go. When I look at this team, Karl Anthony Towns, one of the strengths, obviously, of his game is he's, you know, in the conversation for best shooting big man of all time. And it seems like something over the last few weeks where the number of threes that he's shooting is really down. He was 1 for 3 in this game. Have you heard that as a point of emphasis, you know, for them to try and have find Cat for more opportunities from 3-point range?
We've asked that exact question of him and of Thibodeau, and the answer is the same, that, you know, you let the game tell you what to do. I do think in this series you're going to want him in the paint a little bit more, or at least driving to the paint, because, again, there's a size advantage. There's the Pistons are a team that's prone to fouling, so he can cause a lot of havoc there. But he also is somebody who I think his 1 3-pointer was early in the fourth quarter, helped spur the run.
Yep.
You know, he's a guy who can do it. I don't know why it's happened less lately. They just say, you know, read the game and, you know, make the right play. He's out there, you know, and Josh Hart is always looking for him whenever he's running the ball court, always looking for him as a trailer. You know, he runs a lot of stuff from that outside, but I just think he's been kind of sort of tucking, almost like a running back, and plowing his way to the basket and drawing fouls. And, you know, that's another advantage that Thibodeau sees, you know, in what he can do. I mean, look, this is the thing about Towns. He is, as you started to say, as gifted an offensive player as there is that position at that size. The range that he has on his 3-point shot, but he's very good at drawing fouls. He's, if people say he's not aggressive enough, maybe defensively, that may be the case, but offensively, he's like a bull sometimes. He really goes in hard and tries to draw the contact and get the fouls. I think you'd love to see a game where he takes it over, you know, and has one of these, you know, 36-point, 40-point nights, which he's capable of. We haven't seen that, and I think the Knicks at some point will need that from him.
Is there any adjustment, if you were Tom Thibodeau, when you looked at, obviously, the fourth quarter was a deluge, an avalanche, but not, you know, it wasn't as good in the first half, and they were losing through three quarters. Is there an adjustment you would make from game one to game two?
They've got to do a better job of tracking the 3-point shooters, but But to me, you know, I looked at this game by the end of it. You look at the box score and you kind of go guy by guy. And I don't think anybody kind of played outside of themselves. I don't think there was any sensational performances that you didn't expect. You know, Ananobi had an Ananobi performance. You know, mm-hmm. I had a vote this year, and I voted him onto the first team all defense. And I think he might not make first. He's gonna be an all defensive team guy this year. I think what you got out of him is what you get out of him. I think Josh Hart, once he got through the foul trouble, you got what you get from him. You know, sort of a little bit of everything. You know, leading breaks defensively, doing some things. I think Towns had just an ordinary Towns game, you know, 23-11, mm-hmm. The four steals probably more. To me, there was nothing sort of out of character with them, and I think there's probably, what you'll probably get is a little bit better bench play at some point from McBride and Shamet, who both struggled offensively and looked a little bit almost rattled by the situation, which kind of surprised me. Both kind of just looked a little bit off. I don't think anything has to change other than, you know, those are good defensive players and they're the kind of guys that can do a better job at not losing these 3-point shooters and screens and, you know, finding them on the weak side. The Knicks knew coming into the series was going to be an issue that they had to be a part, you know, I guess sort of on a string together to handle that. And they were not at times yesterday. And some of the shots were just too easy. For guys like, you know, Beasley, who I think had 319 threes in the regular season, you just can't leave them. And they had too many open looks there, and that's something I'm sure that Tom is going to want to clean up.
Yeah, I don't think that Tobias Harris also is going to go 4 of 5 from three-point range. I'm not saying he won't make some, but that was a little bit better performance maybe than I would expect on a nightly basis from him.
Look! He's on Detroit partially because of what the Knicks did to him in the playoffs last year.
Right.
And you know, I think he was scoreless in the final game of that series last year, and he really came out on fire in the first half and was an aggressive offensive factor. I think he had 3 points in the second half, and I think, you know, that was something that got cleaned up there, and it's got to be. You know, it's got to be not just him. It's got to be everybody. It's got to be Beasley, Hardaway, that they kind of keep an eye on. You know, as they try and make somebody beat them other than Cade Cunningham, that's sort of the first goal. And I think that it's sort of just, you know, being better on that help.
Yeah. Steve Popper from Newsday does a great job covering the Knicks. Steve, appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
All right. 888-808-1019. Phone lines are open. We've got Roman. We've got Mac. We'll be right back with your calls.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.